Good to see everybody. Welcome to our April meeting of the Orange County Human Relations Commission. I would like to call the meeting to order at 11:02. So, agenda item number.
Okay, is the monthly summary of commission activities.
Commissioner Esparza, would you like to review for us the monthly activities?
Oh.
Would you like Dawn to do it?
Dawn.
Talk to us, Dawn.
So, last month, we had three police community reconciliation program cases. All of them are information and referral. We did sheriff interfaith meeting at the sheriff department, and we did a community outreach to One Book, One Campus at Saddleback College. We participated in Walk in My Shoe conference at UCI and presented a workshop on hate crime. We also did the commissioner, executive director met with Chairman Doe, the CEO, Frank Kim, and OCCR Director Darren Wright to discuss the contract. And Commissioner Director also met with Irvine resident to talk about the work of the commissioner and the partnership opportunity. Staff met with Waymakers of Orange County, UCB CSP, Victim Assistant Program Advocate, talking about way to assist hate crime victims. And staff offer three presentations on implicit bias to three different locations, Laguna Beach High School, mediation training, basic mediation training, and Student Leadership Institute at Santa Ana College. For the Sheriff Academy training, staff did a training on April 9th, and the reception for the award is tonight.
Thanks, Don. Could you give us just an insight maybe on one of the cases on the police reconciliation? Just
yes.
Reason? Just give us an insight.
One of the case came into our office was a complaint about law enforcement not being responding to the complaint about harassment in the neighborhood. What happened is this person who moved into this neighborhood had been receiving mails, and her neighbor's been receiving all types of hate mails. And what I did was I connected her with the detective who are in charge of hate crimes and harassment, and be able to referral and communicate and connect the two parties to work together and resolve the issue.
Did it get resolved, or it's in process?
It's still pending right now, because the case started out as social media harassment, and the person who were being harassed actually closed out her social media account, and somehow this person was able to find her living address.
Wow.
And then he started harassing her in her own neighbors.
And they felt the police weren't being responsive, so you were able to put them in communication with each other so they could hear from one another. Right?
Yes, and also the case also went to Lou Correa's office and, you know, have met and worked with them. And so.
Thank you. Any other questions for Dawn? For those who don't know, Norma's away and has been away for several weeks, hopefully returning very, very soon.
Yep.
So Dawn has been doing a great job in her stead, calling me every day. No, I'm busy every day.
Crying.
No.
Thank you.
Okay, next is open forum.
Open forum.
This is an opportunity for members of the public to share thoughts, concerns, ideas with us. So is there anybody in the audience who would like to share anything with us? Seeing none, let's move to the next item.
Okay, item number three is consider commission living room dialogue series.
Okay. So, do we have that in our packet here?
Yes, it should be on the back end of it. There you go.
Yeah. So has everybody had a chance to see this memo here? This kind of a program, I think, is at the heart of what the commission is all about. Putting people in a room in a safe environment to be able to talk with one another, to share with one another, and to have the ability to be vulnerable. I know when we did this with street-level police officers and people in the inner city, the mothers were able to talk about their fears about their children being 18, African-American, and driving, and what goes on in their mind. And police officers were able to talk about their fears about pulling over a car and you don't know who's sitting in that car, and then challenge each other's assumptions as well. This is, of course, came post 9/11 when this first started, and I think we sort of want to reintroduce it in a way that will bring more communication to the stress points in our community. If you go to sort of the middle here, this program would serve multiple purposes: bring together participants with diverse backgrounds to deepen cross-cultural understanding and communication. As I always like to say, implicit bias is really solved by making it explicit in safe atmospheres where you can talk and really share, because bias is, my humble opinion, based in fear. So when you can talk about your fears real way, I think it makes a difference. Two, to catapult the commission's efforts to increase positive visibility in the community. This sort of tandem to what Commissioner Reynolds is working on, and it sort of adds that next layer. I mean, at the bottom of our, or at the top of the sheet here, our mission is to seek the causes of tension and conflict, discrimination, intolerance, and eliminate those causes. And I can just tell you that we could speak to 500 people at a time, and that would be fantastic and great, but it's really the one-on-one conversations that make all the difference in the world, all the difference in the world. Third, to strengthen Commission's relationships with diverse communities across Orange County, which, quite frankly, we need to do a better job of. We sort of lost touch with that the last year. We need to do a better job of that, not on the staff side, but certainly the Commission side. And four, to help identify diverse leaders that could be considered for recognition by the Goodwill Committee, among many other resources we could use. But those are sort of the four goals to this. We would be the primary sponsor to recruit this diverse group. The primary host, role of the host is to offer his or her home, so we need spaces to do this and for us to find those, and then to train individuals as facilitators for these conversations. And according to Dawn and Joyce and to Norma, we will allow for the staff time for that. We have staff time to do this kind of work. So, that being said, is there a motion to take an action on this and approve it? Mm-hmm. Moved by Commissioner Esparza. Is there a second to the motion?
Second.
Seconded by Chief Hamill. Let's open it up for discussion. Becky.
If I may.
Please.
I have one of these living dialogues in my home. Mm-hmm. Is it on? I had one of these living room dialogues in my home.
Press that button.
Do I have to yell?
There you go.
Yay. Okay, I had one of these living room dialogues in my home. I had several commissioners, my city council member. I can't remember because it's been so long. But, you know, one of the things sitting here for so long with so many commissioners, you know, we learn a lot about each other, but not really that much because we don't see each other that often. And in this setting, I learned more about my fellow commissioners. I learned that Pat Crone actually moved to a house that the people had to vacate because they went to an internment camp. They were Japanese, and there was a farm. And how her father said, we're going to protect this farm as if it was our own, but it's not. And it was wonderful to hear all these things. And we learn from each other, but we learn to understand each other and our different ways of handling situations. And I think it's really important that we do this.
Wonderful. Other comments or thoughts?
Can I comment?
Please, Chief.
I just want to say thanks for considering this item. And, you know, Rabbi Steinberg talked a lot about implicit bias, and that's a topic that is regularly trained in law enforcement agencies. And it recognizes that we all have implicit biases, and training that can help us realize what those are is a first step in ensuring that we don't let our biases impact our decisions, which is important in all walks of life, and especially in law enforcement. So.
Amen. And you know, our police officers come from our community. So if we're dealing with this at the community level, then our police officers also have that extra training. So well said. Anybody else? Jenny?
It talks about that there's no funds available for this. And so do we raise funds, or how does that? It talks about there's no available funds for the commission within our contract.
That's a great question. I don't know the answer to that, except that our contract expires in June.
Or have we renewed it a year?
We've extended it a year. Mm-hmm. So do we have thoughts about how we're going to handle that funding issue?
Not that I know of. Had to be done, have a conversation with Norma.
Yeah. That's a good question. I don't know the answer. We'll find out. Let's address that next month. But in principle, we can vote on the concept of going forward. But every program is dependent on how it's paid for, as we all well know. So, any other? Carrie?
I have a clarification. The commissioner would pair up to sponsor, host, and facilitate a living room dialogue. And that would mean recruiting. That's part of it, is recruiting individuals to attend the dialogues, correct?
Yes.
And then to host the actual event at his or her home as a meeting place.
Yes.
Or reserve a public space.
Yes.
And then the facilitator are the facilitators trained facilitators to come in and do this, or are all the commissioners going to be trained facilitators?
Yes and yes.
Oh, yes and yes. Okay.
So if the commissioner isn't trained, we'll bring in a facilitator, but the hope is that we'll all become trained. I don't think it's going to be too intensive. But, you know, there is a skill, if as a therapist you would know, of course,
yes,
in navigating a conversation in a safe way. And some people have that skill, some people don't. So I think the other thing that I'd like to see is it doesn't necessarily have to be in the commissioner's home, although that's the easiest way to do it. Perhaps we have resources and the staff could help us find homes in places where we might not tend to go to also have those conversations. We could still be the host, the facilitator, bring the goods and all that kind of stuff, but to do it in homes that maybe are places we don't travel all that much. Other questions or concerns?
What do you suggest as a number of these? Would this be a monthly event or bi-monthly?
I think it would depend on the interest level of the commissioners. I think it depends on how many people we can recruit. But you're asking a good question. I think this vote is not only to do it, but I think commissioners should think to themselves, do I have the time, effort, and ability to make it happen as well? I mean, because we could vote yes and say, staff, go do it, and then it not happen. I mean, it speaks to Janny's issue that it's not necessarily a money issue if it's going to come from the volunteer commissioners, you know, 90% of it. So that's an important consideration when taking the vote.
Okay.
They're hoping to be a 2 to 3 consecutive sessions, right? And hopefully that the commissioner could pair it up and co-facilitate or host.
It does say here, yes, that there's one commissioner and one staff member participate. Yeah.
Right, but if I think the cost of the location and, you know, the trinkets and all that being covered by the commissioner is probably not a big deal. but the trainer, if you're not trained, you have to bring a professional person. So that's why I'm talking about the logistics mm-hmm. of the cost of running the program. The location and the drinks and, you know, hosting, that can be all on a voluntary basis. It's not that big of a deal. But the operation of the program, you know, since there's no funding and we need professional assistance with this, because I'm certainly not trained, you know, so if I were to host it, I would have to bring in a professional. So we don't know what the cost of that is. And, you know, there is no financial backing of it to kind of.
Good question. Don, is the staff going to train us? Is that what's thought, or do we have a professional in mind? And
no, I think probably be all three of us training the commissioner to co-facilitate.
Mm-hmm.
And because we have the curriculum, like Becky's have shared that in the past, that's the same curriculum that we've already be bringing it back and training our commissioner to be a facilitator.
Okay. So, I mean, the question really is, if it's not part of the contract, how do we wedge this in so that right. the staff can do it? Seems to me that the proposal means that they can, and we'll find a way to make it happen, even if it's over and above what the contract is. It would be nice if the contract funded that as well, though. And so that we need to get clarification on for sure.
And I'd like some further clarification on how we would find the participants. If we want these people to be from diverse backgrounds, mm-hmm. Do we go out in the community to find people from different diverse backgrounds to join this? How would we go about that? Or would the staff be somewhat involved?
Just the way I always like to answer you, yes and yes. Uh-huh. Yes, that I think the more of the commissioners can do the legwork, the better. But don't forget the staff has amazing connections, resources, and ability to find people of all ages, of all backgrounds, of all socioeconomic situations. And I think that is going to be the really interesting discussion of how we do that. I mean, this does two things. One, it brings people together, but I also think it's good for us who sit on this dais and are really having discussions about people of diverse backgrounds to then put ourselves in their shoes and understand how to have those discussions. So the more we can do it, great, but I don't think commissioners are going to be left on their own to recruit.
Yep.
So let's have a vote. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Aye. All those opposed? Any abstentions? Motion passes unanimously. Thank you so much. And we'll get clarifications to the funding issue, too. Yes, ma'am.
Item number 4 is the Awards 2008 Unsung Heroes presentation.
Thank you. So back in December, the commission have endorsed to do a call out for nomination for the county to submit an unsung heroes that do human relations work in Orange County. And the commission staff was involved in judging and sending out a package to select all these 2018 awardees. So today we have two of them in the room that will share with you today about what are they being honored for, the work that they do in our community. So without further ado, I'd like to invite Brian Peterson to come up and do his presentation, and then we'll have Stella Borska go after him.
And as Brian makes his way up, I'd just like to say that we have a partnership with OC Human Relations Council, and as part of our contract, we're also involved in this gala in which we're celebrating these wonderful people, and the going to this gala is a great way to support human relations in Orange County. It is a fantastic event, very inspiring, and I would just like the minutes to reflect. I have not missed one since I've been a commissioner, although I will be in Europe this event, and I'm really, really sorry to miss it for two reasons. One, because we're honoring these wonderful individuals, and two, because we're honoring two other very special people, Sheriff Hutchins, who's been our partner in so many things, and as she retires, we're going to honor her, and we're also honoring Rusty Kennedy, the former CEO, of not only this commission, but of the council. And so our support as a commission, I think, will send a symbolic nod and also positive connection to the council's work as well. So thank you. Brian, welcome. Glad you're here.
Thank you. Oh, that's on. Okay. So first of all, I just want to say thank you for having me here today. It's I'm actually pretty amazed. It's beautiful to hear you guys talking about just people. In the last 2.5 years of my life, I've realized that life is about people. And so the conversations that you've had so far have both humbled my heart and made me feel at home in this room. But I'm here on behalf of OC Human Relations inviting me to share about Faces of Santa Ana. And Faces of Santa Ana, I'm going to just tell you 5 to 7 minutes about the journey of how we got here, and then also what it's all about. So 2.5 years ago, I was in my apartment in Santa Ana, and I was reading this book about loving people, loving your neighbors, loving your coworkers, family, friends. And at the time I was reading this book, I heard these screams coming from outside of my apartment in Santa Ana, right on Broadway, two blocks from here. And so I'm reading this book about loving my neighbor, and I hear these screams, and they connected with my heart in a way that I can't even explain today. And so we'd heard those screams before, and me and my wife would always say, oh, there goes the screaming homeless man. That was like the common, that's what we labeled this man. But this day, I was like, wow, I need to know his name. I need to get to know him. And so 2 days later, I was on my way home from work on my bicycle, and I meet this man, and I sit down with him, and it was the first time ever I had a conversation with someone experiencing homelessness. And so first thing I did is apologize to him. I said, hey, man, I'm your neighbor, and I've driven by you 100 times and never said hi, so I'm sorry. And we went on to have this awesome conversation. He told me his name was Matthew, moved out from Kentucky to pursue a career in music, but ended up living on the streets for 12 years. And in that first conversation, something inside of me just asked him, hey, Matt, can I paint your portrait? And I hadn't painted in 8 years, so this wasn't something that I was doing every single night, but I saw beauty in Matt's story and his pain. And so I painted Matt's portrait the next day and posted a photo of it on Facebook, and people were asking, hey, is that for sale? And I couldn't fathom why someone would ever want a portrait of Matthew. It didn't make sense to me. And I started to realize that maybe this portrait of this man experiencing homelessness in our city for 12 years is dignifying enough that it's an image of hope for other people. And so we revealed the portrait to Matt. He was like blown away by it. He couldn't believe that someone actually painted a portrait to him. And a light bulb went off in my head. I said, wow, maybe I've been given this gift so I can use it to help my neighbors, both to bring awareness, to dignify them. And if I sell the portrait, maybe I can use the money to help them financially. And so that's what we did. We sold the portrait, and we used the money to help Matt meet his needs. We actually used the money to help him record an album. And so that set us off on this journey, my wife and I, and we just started walking around our neighborhood, meeting and becoming friends with the invisible people. And part of what we do now is we change the way they see themselves. And we do that by doing these really, really vibrant portraits of them. And we say, hey, man, this is how I see you. This is who you actually are. You're not defined by homelessness, and we believe in your future. And so this was my friend John, amazing guy, been in Santa Ana for a few years now. But John's been a real thread for us. John's helped us connect to so many other people inside the community of the homeless here in Santa Ana. This is a friend of mine, Pam. She spent years in prison. She had a 15-year sentence. And when she saw this portrait, I see the moment where everything changed for me. I see the moment when I was in my prison cell and I decided like heroin was not the way for me, and she ran after an appeal in her life and was later released. And so these portraits are really just connecting us uniquely with people. Similar to the conversations you've had today, art has a way of speaking and it has its own language. This is a portrait of Cindy. For years, she's been on First and Main Street, right across from the Rite Aid. And when Cindy saw her portrait, she said, no one's ever going to buy a painting of this old lady. And that's how she saw herself. That was her self-worth. And Cindy's portrait sold the fastest of any of the ones we did. An hour later after posting it, someone bought it and said, she reminds me of my grandmother. Oh. And so we got to go back out to Cindy and say, hey, this old lady is loved and valued. And even till this day, Cindy now has housing. She's been off the streets. The portrait wasn't the thing that got her off the streets, but the portrait did reinstill hope in her life. And as she began to hope and believe in herself, she started running after the services that she deserved. This is a portrait of just a family that was living in a truck, living in a suburban here in Santa Ana. Five children, husband and wife. And we got to really do life with this family. We started babysitting their kids and sending them on date nights. And it was just an amazing experience to see art connect us to people. And at the root of what Faces of Santa Ana is, it is a nonprofit organization, but we believe it's a family. In this photo are a bunch of people that didn't know each other, and now they've all been painted by myself, so they come to these galleries and they meet each other. And they have something that they can associate themselves with besides the title of homeless. And I think that's powerful for them to start believing in themselves again. And it just, this all goes back to just one story. As we kind of near the end of this presentation, I never sat and dreamed up an organization. I never set out and did a business plan of what I wanted to do. It was just one guy. One guy screaming. And what I believe today, I feel like those screams were for me because I needed to be woken up. And I think there's also a lot of other artists in our city that that deserve to be woken up in the same way, to realize they can use their talents to help people. And so we've begun doing that. We've begun teaching. We taught a class at Santa Ana High School, and this is a high school student along with 27 other students signed up to take my class, and they all painted portraits of their neighbors experiencing homelessness, the same neighbors that they often walk by and pass on their way to school every day. So this was a powerful moment to see like the youth be molded into seeing people with love and using their gifts to help people. And this is the last thing we just finished up. This is the orchard. You guys may be familiar with it. It's on First Street, right past the Five. And it's a permanent housing residence for the homeless. And so we did a 180-foot mural of the people that live in this housing residence, and they've all been pulled off of our streets. So what started as like a 40-inch canvas now turned into 18-foot tall portraits of the people that have felt invisible most of their life. And so this is our last slide. Thank you guys for having me. We are excited to really see how art can play a role in everything that's going on in our life. Art carries a narrative and a story, and we're committed to just following through with that and continuing this journey. So thank you.
Thank you so much. My religious tradition teaches that if you save one life, it's as if you saved an entire world, and clearly you have. So thank you so much.
I want to know what happened to the recording. You said the young man recorded.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Matt recorded his album. We actually have the album made, a CD with a jewel case, all the artwork in there, and we sell the albums to help him out. And so we've sold probably 250 albums already. Wow.
Yeah. I think that's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. Matt's currently, he's in a hard place. This is, some of the reality is Matt deals heavily with paranoia and schizophrenia. Mm-hmm. And so it's really hard to see, but as he walks towards success in his life, the voices in his head always pull him back to where he's from, you know? And so we're trying to walk with him. It's a really hard season, but we've seen a lot of victory, so.
I think it's wonderful what you're doing.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
You're
Thank
very
you.
Welcome.
Estera, please come forward.
Hello, how's everybody doing?
Very good, thank you.
Thank you for having me. I'm really excited to be here today. So I do want to kind of give you guys maybe like a small overview of myself and what I do, but I've been involved with Orange County Human Relations since high school, so I'll tell you a little bit about that. So my name is Estera Borska, and my story starts as an immigrant from Eastern Europe. I'm originally from Romania, and I came to the U.S. with my family in elementary school, and at a young age, I witnessed a lot of injustice in my own country, post-communist era, and the huge epidemic that started with entire families being put on the streets due to the communist leader Ceausescu. He took over people's homes, and entire families were out on the street, and a lot of the parents died during the war. And it created this huge epidemic of children being on the street, and orphan children being on the street, and young women and men and adults, and it created this huge epidemic in my country. So growing up in that, as a small, we're living in a small village. I come from a Christian background, and my dad was a pastor for years, but we did so much work around the injustices and discrimination that I faced in my own country. And coming here to the U.S., I realized that it wasn't much different. And as being the new girl in school, and dealing with like just being bullied because you're the new person who doesn't speak the language, and dealing with that, it was a really huge moving stone for me. So fast forward to high school, when I met Orange County Human Relations, which was amazing because it created that platform for me and really put a huge fire in my heart for advocacy and justice. And I remember the first time I did the training with Orange County Human Relations, and we had the club on campus, and I really fell in love with it, and I wanted to be the president of it. And I'm like, this is exactly what I live for. This is what I stand for. This is me. And I remember doing my first facilitation ever. So I'm standing there in front of the room, and I'm really excited and also super nervous. And we're leading a discussion about discrimination in this classroom. And one brave soul in the room raised his hand and said, I've been bullied, and I've been bullied by someone in this classroom. And everything went silent. I didn't have a word to say. I had a very hard time getting anything out. But I remember the words of the Orange County Human Relations specialist, Kate. And she said, whenever you're stuck, reach out to your audience because they're your co-facilitators. And if you can't talk about the content of what the person said, just say that they're brave enough that they said it. And I'm like, okay, I'm going with that. So I did. And every single person in that classroom talked about the bravery this young man had to say that statement. And there was one individual in the room way at the back of the classroom with his hoodie on, head all the way down, didn't say a word. So at the end of that, I thought, I bet that's the guy, right? That gave him away. So I said, one last time, I have one last chance. So I asked him, does anyone else have anything else to add? And he walked up to that boy that made that statement that was bullied, and he walked up to him and said, I never realized how this affected you, and I'm really sorry. And he fist pumped him, and they hugged. And I was just like, and I think that was a huge moment for me, because it made me realize that what an impact it can make, even if you just affect one person at a school. And how important it was to create safety and to help others to feel safe. So I feel like that was the stepping stone, and it's also a metaphor for the work that I do today, and how I started at the community level, and now even with the international work that I do. So I've been involved with Orange County Human Relations since then, and have kind of stayed connected with them throughout the years. And so I actually got a lot of my friends to join it, and even my younger sister Judy, when she got to high school, I'm like, you have to join POND and be a part of that program. And she got to go to some of the events as well, and be a part of that family. So a little bit about me. I did my bachelor's at Cal State Fullerton, and have been a part of the Orange County family forever, and done tons of work in the community, Magnolia School District, with Southern California Task Force for Human Trafficking. We currently take a lot of the stories of human trafficking victims, and we share their story about them being victims, even the perpetrators, and the rehabilitation and the trauma that they faced. And I currently am a clinical director at Crittenton Services. We do tons of work with refugee minors. We have 5 mental health programs. We're in Orange County as well as LA County. Some other work that I do, I think that's important, kind of the projects that I'm working on right now, actually, is on women empowerment and the conflict resolution work that I do internationally. So I think it's really important for women to have a seat at the table, and it's very important for me because I come from an Eastern European country where women don't have as much of a voice, and what an amazing thing it is when we do have a seat at the table and women as agents of change. So I do some work with an international NGO, and I was asked to do a spoken word piece or some sort of artistic piece. And I don't consider myself an artist or a poet, but I did an artistic piece, spoken word type, on women as agents of change at the United Nations headquarters. And it had this huge impact, and people kept asking me about it. So it was endorsed by the Republic of Denmark, and now there's, it's becoming this huge project. But I'm really proud of it because it's giving young women a voice who don't have a voice, women who are victims who are told that they don't make a difference. And I really appreciate that generalization of being able to say that women do need a seat at the table. And working internationally with international policy and the world goals at the UN, it's making me realize how important that is. And it's important in this country, but it's really important in other countries who have very small victories. Like in Syria, women are able to, as of recent policy change, they're able to drive now. And last year when I was there, I met a woman from Syria who was an attorney, and she did tons of positive policy changes in her country. And one of the things that she told me about and she cried about that day to me was, it's really sad that I can't drive in my own country after everything that I achieved. I'm still held back in so many ways. And I was able to see her this past March when I was there at the Commission on the Status of Women. And she said, I was hoping I see you because I wanted to share with you that we won that victory. So I do think that that's really important. I'm proud of where this mini film series on women as agents of change is going, because I do think that it is important. And studies show that 45% of more conflict is resolved when women have a seat at the table. So I really appreciate that work that I do and the project that it's becoming. So I didn't expect for it to be done, but that video is done. So if we do have time for it, it's 4 minutes, if you guys would
please like
to show it. In the meantime, as I open this up, if you guys have any questions or anything, Don, I probably missed. So I can get on the internet. Just need access.
Thank you, Esther. I think one of the highlight and the thing that we want to recognize you for, or you've been selected as one of the 2018 honoree, is your work with foster youth and your work with empowering young women and women and locally and nationally, and you take it globally, which make us very, very proud to be associated with you. So she just listing some of the few things that she's being very humble about, but, you know, have met Estella almost 20 years ago and see her journey becoming a change agent in our own community and even at the global and national level is very, very impressive. So
these are the kind of people OC Human Relations are developing. I mean, this is what we do. And so people who change the world, quite impressive.
I was on.
Yes, to move forward.
Becky?
I was on the committee to read the selections. And they're always awesome, and it's hard to do. But as you can see by the two that we had today, they're wonderful, and they do wonderful work.
We could literally spend every meeting with graduates who are changing the world. We had Brett from Homeland Security a couple
exactly.
months ago, and so many others. How are we doing?
Almost there. Sorry.
No worries. Cybersecurity is important, too, but it won't be an issue the commission will be taking up anytime soon.
No worry. While we're waiting, I just want to complete the list. In the police community category, Rob, I have shared that we are honoring Sheriff Hutchins and Tustin PD for their work with community dialogue, having law enforcement officer having dialogue with youth, at-risk youth. We're honoring them for that work. The other community leader is Minerva Gomez. She's also doing a lot of work with the immigrant community and also created a program called the Orange County Dream Team, which have provided numerous scholarship for undocumented student in college. And last but not least, at the school category, we're honoring Newport Harbor High School for doing some amazing work to create a safe and inclusive campus in their own community.
Awesome. Okay, so let me go ahead and play it for you guys. This is my second draft. We're still working on it, but I think, okay, let's see. Can we hear?
My name is Estera Borska. I stand here before you humbled for the opportunity to speak, as I don't see myself as an artist or a poet, but the inspiration of the many women who I hold dear pushed me to stand here before you hoping to hold back the tears I have so much passion to talk about women and their strength. I hold their untold stories deep in my chest. And the many years in the helping field, I work with young girls, women, and mothers whose laughter still ring in my ears. I saw strength beyond measure and bravery beyond belief. For instance, in a foster mother who learned how to comfort a five-year-old boy who lost both of his parents, now he was all alone without a soul in the world. This woman sat on the floor holding this boy in her lap all hours of the night while he cried and cried and cried. He struggled for many years, but she never gave up on him. She helped him conquer all of his fears. Even when she was diagnosed with breast cancer, she didn't let him go. She said, "He needs me. God told me so." She inspired many young women, including her niece, who at 13 years old decided she didn't want to live. So many young women struggle with their self-image. This young girl missed way too much school to avoid being bullied. Girls teased her because she didn't have the latest cool sneakers or the newest red lipstick. Her immigrant parents worked three jobs just to get by. So when her aunt found out she was suicidal, cutting her wrist with a scalpel, she rushed to her side. She talked to her about the beauty of life and how she would give anything for the cancer to subside. This teenage girl wept and felt silly. For the first time, she knew she was living. She decided to be a doctor to help women like her aunt. She was.
It's weird.
It's touching.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah.
Goal at a time, women inspire each other through and through. The inspiration women give to each other is like a fountain of spring water. It flows and flows, refreshing all souls. Women as agents of change only exist in the plural form. We depend on each other. Our steps are connected. Our stories entwined. Our experiences are more alike than we would like. Women learn to laugh through the pain. It's fake, that's okay, laugh anyway. Laugh therapy is a real thing. In the good words of Maya Angelou, the laughter of women sets fire to the halls of injustice. The false evidence burns to a beautiful white lightness. It rattles the chambers of Congress and forces the windows wide open. I think it's to let the laughter of women inside. If you know me, you know I love a good laugh. My mentor once told me it can heal a broken heart. Laughter, the device that keeps me moving no matter the strife. Do you hear that? The streets of every part of the world are ringing with women's laughter galore. It's women teaching each other the ropes. I charge you today to be a woman who laughs hysterically at every little thing, brave enough to inspire every woman you see. Thank you for allowing me this time. I would like to end with one of my favorite lines, what I believe should be the theme to every woman's life. Pretty women wonder where my secret lies. I'm cute, but I'm not built to fit a fashion model size. But when I start to tell them, they think I'm telling lies. I say, it's in the reach of my arms, the span of my hips, the stride in my step, the curl of my lips. I'm a woman, phenomenally phenomenal woman. That's me.
Thank you for allowing me to share that with you. It's something that we're working on, and we're creating a bigger project where other women and even allies of women, men can participate and turn in an artistic piece for it to be this film series that's international and really brings awareness to the issues that we deal with and women empowerment.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. No problem.
You two are just inspiring people who think important to note as we get the Goodwill Committee up and running that there are thousands of people in our county who are like the two of you, and we need to celebrate them because it inspires. Thank you so much.
Item number 5 is discussion of petition sponsored by Asian Americans Advancing Justice regarding concerns with anti-immigrant rhetoric and policies within Orange County.
Thank you so much. So it's my pleasure to welcome Sylvia Kim, who's the Orange County Regional Director of the Asian Americans Advancing Justice, and also Caitlin Ogawa, the Policy Coordinator of the Orange County Office. We're really glad that you're here to share your thoughts and ideas and feelings with us. So welcome.
Thank you so much, commissioners. And I actually didn't expect to be so inspired by this meeting. I extend my congratulations to both of the honorees for this year. It was really inspiring, even the group discussion about the living room dialogues. It's given me actually new hope for this county. I'm unfortunately here for an issue that's not quite as inspirational. I am, however, inspired by the mission of this commission, and I think it's kind of longer on the website, but I really do feel that the mission of this commission is critical at this time in our county. So just to give you a little bit of background, I know that we provided some packets for all of you. I'm the Regional Director for Asian Americans Advancing Justice, and we are the nation's largest legal service and civil rights organization for Asian Americans, Native Hawaiians, and Pacific Islanders. We're headquartered in Los Angeles, but we came to Orange County because, I'm not sure if you know, Orange County is now home to the third largest Asian American population in the country. In addition to our petition, we've also provided an executive summary of a report we released earlier this year with the University of California, Irvine, which talks about the assets and needs of our communities. And I can assure you that in building our advisory council and our work here in Orange County, we believe that we have to bring a diverse coalition together, a lot of people from different backgrounds, different political beliefs, but for us, we're about convening and uniting people of diverse backgrounds under common causes. And so that is why we are here today. We're extremely concerned about the intolerance, the anti-immigrant rhetoric that is sweeping this county. Our petition is specific to the March 27th Board of Supervisors meeting that took place, and Caitlin will be coming up in a few moments to share her personal observations and experience at that time, but I'm sure many of you have heard about the City Council meetings that have been taking place, and the various protests and rhetoric expressed at these public meetings have been very concerning to us. I have the petition in front of you, so I won't go into the details of it, but I do acknowledge that, you know, obviously all of these meetings are convening specifically about SB 54 and what is known as the California Values Act. We acknowledge that that is controversial, and I will assure you that even people that are on my advisory council have differing views, but our primary concern, more than the positions on SB 54, are about the anti-immigrant rhetoric that is being loudly voiced at these meetings. We're concerned about the hate. And I know that the commission and both the council have a hate-free OC campaign, and I feel that this falls quite within the realm of your work. We feel that we are abandoning principles of civility and tolerance at these meetings, principles of agreeing to disagree and having a civil discourse, and that is our primary concern. So as you can see, our main demand is that the Board of Supervisors condemn the anti-immigrant rhetoric that was extremely loudly voiced at that meeting. In fact, there were YouTube videos, I believe they've been taken off YouTube, but that had hateful and racist undertones. And to ensure that that kind of rhetoric and tolerance for that rhetoric is not something that's going to be taking place at future public meetings. And we really feel that the Board of Supervisors needs to set the right tone because this is something that's happening at the City Council level as well, and to ultimately stand up for immigrant families. I know that this is a presentation item and not an action item, and so our ask for the commission is A, to consider whether or not they would sign on to this petition. As you can see in the packet, we have currently over 25 organizations that have signed on. Not all of the logos are there. We printed it before. We were able to gather all of them, but they do consist of some of the bar associations, and we're working closely with various legal organizations and also chambers of commerce to see if we can move forward our concerns about the hate. The second ask I have is just to kind of consider when you say that your mission is to eliminate the causes of discrimination and intolerance, what exactly does that entail? I'm not sure if there is room for investigation or some kind of countywide strategy to condemn the kind of intolerance that's been showing up at these public meetings. But I'm happy to have some of those strategic kind of discussions with the commission and different commissioners because we are extremely concerned and want to know how we can kind of ensure that Orange County is truly free of hate.
So if I can ask a question, when you say the hate rhetoric, was that coming from the dais of the public speakers, or was that coming from the audience members for those of us who didn't see the video or
Absolutely.
Weren't present?
They're coming from the audience. And so
it's not a free speech issue.
It's not a free speech issue. Our concern is that it's a public meeting space that is being presided over by elected officials. Some hateful anti-immigrant rhetoric is being loudly voiced, and that is not being clearly condemned. And we believe that that is emboldening those who are saying that rhetoric, and it's emboldening them to show up to more and more meetings and to become even more loudly voiced. I hope you don't mind, actually, if I invite Caitlin perhaps at this time to share her personal observations, because she will share how even after she spoke and testified and experienced some of that rhetoric, she was actually chased out of this building onto the sidewalk and felt kind of that hostility even outside of the room. So I think it does set a tone for those who are doing this work.
Thank you so much. Good afternoon, commissioners. Thank you for inviting both Sylvia and I here today. And so, like as Sylvia mentioned, it's very surreal for me to be here because I was actually sitting in this overflow room for that Board of Supervisors meeting. And when I had seen all my fellow immigrant advocates go up to speak for public comment, I had felt my hands shaking because I knew when I was going to go up there that there were many, many individuals sitting in the aisles that would be heckling me. And so when I went up there to finally do my public comment, I turned around, many of them leaned over the aisle to yell at me and sneer at me, telling me that I was a liar and that I don't belong here. And I think that really resonated with me and definitely shook me to my core as born and raised here in Orange County. And my grandparents actually were from Cyprus and were picked up during the Japanese internment camps and were shipped to Arkansas, but felt like Orange County was their home and that they belonged here and came back to settle and build a family in Placentia. And so my roots are definitely here in Orange County, and it's very shaking for me to feel like this isn't representative of my home. And I feel like this is also not representative of what civic engagement should be like for our communities. And so, as Sylvia mentioned, after the meeting, a couple of those who were with that group that were being very loud and not civil had recognized me from my public comment and chose to egg me on further to try to get me on Facebook Live or something like that to argue with them. And it chased me to the sidewalk until I tried to, like, run away. And so I think it's really unfortunate, and fellow advocates have also shared that that kind of behavior is following through at city council meetings, and I think it's showing that immigrants are not welcome here in Orange County, which I think is completely deplorable and not what should be shared with not only people in Orange County but to the nation as well.
I'm sorry that you had that experience. I'm sorry that anybody would have that experience. How much the more so for somebody born and raised mm-hmm. in this country. And so, just out of curiosity, where do you think that vitriol and hate comes from, that somebody would lean over the aisle and sneer and yell at you like that?
We will tell you. I mean, I don't want to talk about allegations per se, because I know there are different legal procedures, but we will say that the first city council meeting that voted on SB 54 was Los Alamitos, and our understanding is that there are allegations that a national hate group was in contact with various city council members in Orange County. Mm. I won't say, because I don't have enough information myself on those allegations, but apparently they've been identified as a hate group by the Southern Poverty Law Center. And really what we've been feeling as advocacy groups is that Orange County actually is being targeted, we feel like, as a battleground to display this kind of anti-immigrant hateful rhetoric. And I mean, the first half of this meeting was so inspirational and reminded me that Orange County is not like that and is not supposed to be like that, and that there are entities like this commission to ensure that that kind of hate is not tolerated. And so, you know, we're really calling on this commission to lead the way, because that type of leadership is really needed right now. We have various colleagues who go to the different city council members. So we won't speak to what happens on the grassroots level, but I felt that especially at a Board of Supervisors county level meeting, to have experienced that kind of anti-immigrant rhetoric and to not have a clear line that that kind of hate is not tolerated in the county, I think that kind of permissive attitude has kind of swept over this entire county and has set the tone for the different city council meetings.
Thank you so much. Questions for our speakers, anyone?
I just want to know, were they saying these terrible things to you during the board meeting?
Yes. And so there was an effort from the Board of Supervisors to try to maintain decorum, but it honestly got louder and louder as the proceeding went on. So it was loud and clear during the meeting. So it actually interrupted certain individuals' public comments, because they had to stop and like wait for it to settle down, and then they would reset the clock. So there's, especially in the minutes of the agenda, you'll see that the heckling has stopped a lot of public comments for individuals.
I just wondered why they didn't ask the hecklers to leave, because they are in control.
Mm-hmm. We're not sure. And I will say that we actually on our end researched and found like this whole document on civility and public meetings. And I'm not sure about the specific policies of the Board of Supervisors, but we were quite shocked about the lack of civility and decorum in that particular proceeding. I wasn't there in person. The YouTube videos I saw had the people who were actually heckling self, like live streaming themselves, shouting out various epithets that were anti-immigrant.
Thank you.
So, Sylvia, what are you proposing? Like, what do you, you know, because obviously as commissioners, we do have limited, you know, capabilities and resources. So I'm not quite sure what you are asking us. I mean, I understand the situation and
right.
What you went through. And, you know, certainly nobody, you know, in any public setting should go through that. So I'm not quite clear.
Absolutely. So we're asking the commission to be our allies in either eventually this letter we are working right now to set up meetings potentially with some of the supervisors and to have a discussion about our concerns. And so what we're really asking the commission is whether or not they can be our allies in that approach and that we're open to kind of a more strategic discussion on what kind of approach would be best to encourage our supervisors to set the tone that that kind of anti-immigrant rhetoric is not acceptable in this county, and particularly in public meetings where matters of business are conducted. My specific ask is, you know, we have obviously an existing campaign. I'm not sure if it's within the kind of prerogative of the commission to put on their logo or to sign on in a sense. I think something that might be more strategic is it possible to set up meetings where commissioners perhaps accompany us or help us set up additional meetings where we can perhaps express some of our concerns and see if the Board of Supervisors will rise to the occasion and hopefully condemn that kind of rhetoric.
Let me try and help you answer that question
okay,
as
you.
Well. If there was ever a job for the Orange County Human Relations Commission, this would be it. Mm-hmm. If we choose not to act, then it's my humble opinion we shouldn't be in business at all. Our whole purpose is to condemn hate speech, celebrate goodness, and to strategically think about how to reduce hateful climates wherever they exist. About 4 or 5 years ago, we had a panel, in fact, the press picked it up, in which we talked about this very issue. And we'll have to go back to the files because there was a report written on how to do this. And essentially the message was, we have to be strategic, and there's some legal aspects about free speech and whatnot that we have to be very careful about. But every elected official has the right to use their First Amendment right of free speech to speak out against somebody else's First Amendment free speech. And then some of that heckling is actually not protected speech. So the police can actually take action and remove people at the order of the chair of that committee, or that commission, or that board of supervisors. So, you know, I will certainly advocate that we put an action item on for next month to start an ad hoc committee to work in combination with Sylvia and her organization and anybody else who would like to sign on, so that we can really address these issues. And then the goal is, if we're going to be a leader in Orange County, to write a document that all, how many cities do we have in Orange County? 27?
34.
34. They're growing, I guess, from last time I counted. And we put, you have to get to the electeds, but you really have to get to the city managers who can help, and the city attorneys as well, and give guidance and give people structure, because, you know, a lot of elected officials are also just trying to do their very best and figure out how to navigate a meeting, and it gets stressful. But if you have a document that helps you do that and also guides the police, quite frankly, on what's appropriate in which to come in and when not to remove somebody. I mean, I can tell you, my brother is the mayor of the city of Sacramento. And I don't know if you watch the news lately, but this young man who was killed, his brother came to a city council meeting and jumped on the dais and got right in my brother's face. And the police and the city officials decided not to let anything happen. I saw it on the news at 6:30 in the morning. I got on the phone and I said, why wasn't that person arrested? I mean, that was a real threat. But they decided to handle it in a certain way because of the situation, and to let tensions die down. Be that as it may, I think this is the absolute role for the Orange County Human Relations Commission to take on and to think about.
So. I agree.
So, Don, then can you send us, or like research what happened like 5 years ago?
Yes.
And the protocol that we, because, you know, I think there are some limitations that, you know, as commissioners, and we need to be educated on what's...
What do you mean limitations on commissioners? To do what?
No, like, are we going to be talking on behalf of ourselves, you know, when we go to the, you know, if we with the ad hoc committee, or, you know, I think we need to have a little bit more guideline of, and you were saying that there was a report available on what steps that we need to be doing. You know?
Sure, but I just want to be sure I understand your question. In other words, do we represent ourselves as opposed to whom?
Well, as a county commissioner, you know, like what's kind of our boundary, you know?
How far can you push?
Right. That's what I want to know.
We're going to give points of view and certainly guidelines that we think are correct, and then people will either follow them or they won't. I mean... It won't be mandated by us.
If I understand you correctly, are you saying for yourself, that you speak for yourself, or you speak on behalf of the commission?
Right. That's what I need to know. Based on that, I mean, we all play various roles, not just as commissioners, but as private citizens, and also our private jobs that we have. And I think we kind of, if there's a paper done to kind of give us a guideline, it would help us to say, okay, this is what we feel comfortable with. This is, you know, as a group, this is what we stand by. This is I think we just need an action plan.
Yeah, well, absolutely. So we're going to get that report or that information out. I'm 99% sure exists somewhere, and we'll also send it to you just as a response to you, and then call for an ad hoc committee to really discuss exactly the issues, Janie, that you're bringing up, because I think they're prescient and relevant as well. Other thoughts or comments, questions?
We can also send out the document that we had found on civility. I think it was from the Institute of like Local Governments or something, some professional sounding.
That'd be great if you could send it our way. Chief, are there guidelines for the police in those kind of meetings and circumstances that would be helpful just to this conversation, just out of curiosity?
Sure. The basic rule is that if a meeting, if someone is disturbing a public meeting to the point where the meeting cannot continue, then that person can be removed. That's the basic rule.
But it's not based on the content of what they're saying necessarily?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Really interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we need to explore the issue.
Right.
Absolutely. But we have every right, and in fact, I think we're mandated to address this kind of an issue. Anybody else?
Nope, but thank you for bringing it to us.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for your time. Thank you.
And thank you. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Item number six is commission staff report, no hate in the LGBTQ community event, and no hate dialogue with former extremist group members.
Yes, so last month, we staff have facilitated hate crime with the LGBTQ community. Originally, it was supposed to happen at the LGBTQ center, but then the LGBTQ center, on the day before the event, requested that we move the location to partnership with UCI Law School for another event that they're already hosting on the LGBTQ issue of a film screening. So we went over there and facilitated the presentation on hate crimes and under no hate. It was very successful because the room was full of people that they were graduate students and community members from Orange County that attended the workshop. And back in January, I believe, the commissioner had the presentation from Brett Steele and about hate in Orange County. And after that, she also had mentioned about there's a group that called Life After Hate that wanted to come to Southern California to explore their option of maybe reaching out to Southern California to have some kind of partnership. So they actually did make it to Southern California, visiting LA County, San Diego County, and stopped to visit us here in Orange County. Joyce and I met with them to talk about what type of work they're looking to do here in Orange County. And if you don't remember, Life After Hate is actually the a former extremist group member based out in Chicago that actually now reformed, and their mission is to go out and help people who either wanted to leave the extremist group or at the border of joining to counsel them and provide services and provide mentorship to them so that they won't fall into that path, right? So they're very interested to be part of the Orange County, you know, fighting hate in this track, to join the no hate type of work. And so we're hoping that we'll re-invite them again to come back to Orange County and do to share their story, to share their resources, and to share what kind of partnership they wanted to do with the commission.
Maybe even for a commission meeting.
Yes.
So. Wonderful. Thank you, Don.
Item number seven is the update from OC Chiefs and Sheriff.
Thank you. I'll mention it for two reasons. Don was just talking about the ongoing work with the LGBTQ community, and then just coincidentally right now there is an LGBTQ police partnership meeting that's taking place. Just wanted to highlight the ongoing work between this community and law enforcement, originally inspired by Laura Cantor and the Center OC. And so today is another meeting where I'll mention it out of so people understand the work that we're continuing to do with that community. Undersheriff was going to give an introduction, talk about the purpose of the partnership, followed by Laura Cantor, who is going to talk about a brief history of the partnership, some of the work that this partnership has been able to create together, and also more just of a meet and greet between members of the LGBTQ community and law enforcement. So I thought it was just a great opportunity to mention ongoing work.
Awesome. Thank you.
Just to share with that, that's why Joyce is not here. She's over there at that meeting right now.
Okay. Item number eight is update from Sheriff's Interfaith Council.
Our last council meeting was at the coroner's office?
Yes,
the coroner's office. So we switch off places, religious organizations, and then places that the sheriff owns, I like to say. So we did it at the coroner's office, heard about their work and religious concerns when a person dies, what happens, what's the process. Quite interesting. But then, you know, as a commission, we're trying to forward think. And so One of our proposals was accepted from the Executive Committee to the whole Advisory Council, and we're going to do what's called 100 ride-alongs, essentially. And that is where we're going to pick several leaders, 100 leaders throughout the community, and invite them to go on police ride-alongs. Because it's my feeling, as well as many others, you cannot speak to the issues fully unless you've experienced it. So a lot of victims of police community tension people have experienced, but I'll just speak for myself. A white middle-aged Jewish guy has only had positive interactions with the police, so I have sort of one perspective. Going on a ride-along, you get to hear what the street-level cop is really experiencing and understanding, and you can question them, and they can talk with you, and it is intended to be a very engaging experience, one to learn and one to engage and to invite conversation and to bring different perspectives. And it's not just going to be white, middle-aged Jewish men going on these ride-alongs. We're going to ask people from all different kinds of communities to do this, so that somebody maybe who's had negative experience with police will sit in that cop car and see it maybe from a different angle, and vice versa, that person from a diverse community can give a perspective in a safe atmosphere within a police car to talk to that police officer about their own experiences without it being a tense-filled moment where there's some crisis going on. And it was very well received by the interfaith community, by the sheriff, by we're going to start with the sheriff as sort of a test case, because they, as you know, not only do the jails, but they serve several cities throughout our county, and then hopefully introduce it at the city level. And the sheriff explained, and I talked with Chief on the side here too as well, it's something almost all chiefs that I know would be very open to, as long as there's a positive, thoughtful. We're not intended to be aggressive or challenging in that way, but to challenge assumptions and to have conversation and to really think through. And I hope all the commissioners, well, they will be invited to be part of this program, but also I hope that they will say yes and actually participate. Because if you haven't been on a ride-along, it's eye-opening in a thousand different ways, as well as eye-opening for the police officer. I mean, when I go with the Irvine PD as my role as a chaplain, a lot of these guys haven't really interacted with a Jewish leader before, so they want to understand. They're asking lots of questions. They're really interested. They have a service orientation, so it's a win-win situation in a lot of ways. So that was really exciting, and actually have a meeting next week to start planning how we're going to make that happen. So any questions about that?
It's Becky? A wonderful experience. I've been on a ride-along both here in Orange County and in L.A., and it's so different how it's treated or how everybody reacts in a different community. So it's good to see. And actually did one a ride along or fly along in the helicopter.
Oh, wow.
And that was a whole another experience. But I think the most I got from it was seeing how the officers react to something, talking to the community, and seeing a whole different side of them, which was really good. And I think it's great for people to be able to witness that.
Absolutely. And you know, quite frankly, you don't have to wait for this program to be up and running. If you're interested, I'm happy to help facilitate. But you can call your local police chief, introduce yourself as a commissioner, and say you want to go on a ride-along. And I would be shocked if they said no. So I'm sure. Good. Thank you.
Okay. Next up is commissioner questions and announcements.
I would like to make some announcements. Is this on?
It is.
Okay. It regards the Goodwill Committee. Give you a little bit of background for those of you who don't know what's been going on. I proposed a few months ago that the commission establish a Goodwill Committee under the umbrella of the commission, and where we would honor various people, organizations, businesses, and so forth for goodwill, for good things they are doing in the community. And this, the idea of this actually came from interaction that I had out in the community with a number of people from various backgrounds. Some did not know about the commission, some did. And the ones that did said, they said things like, oh, you mean that grievance group. They only heard the grievance part of the commission. They didn't hear about all of the good things that came out of this commission. And so they had a misconception of what the commission was all about. I thought if we developed a program where we would, on a regular basis, be doing positive things to highlight, to spotlight the good deeds of various people in the community. I work in a lot of charities in philanthropy, and so I see it all the time. So I kind of have a skewed viewpoint. I see all the good things going on with good people in our community that a lot of others don't see. And I think to get a balance, I think the news kind of is balanced on the negative side, and they don't talk about all the good things going on. So that's part of why I introduced this as an idea. I think we need to show that Orange County is full of good people and good deeds, as well as all the other stuff going on. So I have two people on my committee. They are unfortunately not here today. but I'd
Did
like
you meet?
To, yes.
Did you have a meeting?
We have met phone meetings. That happens with busy people. So we had phone meetings, and I came up with a letter that all of the commissioners have. I'm afraid we don't have it up on the board, do we? Don, do we have it up here?
No.
Okay. We were going to, next time we'll try to get it up on the screen so you can see it. But I'll read through it so you can get the essence of it anyway.
But they have a copy.
Oh, all of them out there do?
No, but the commissioners.
Yes, yes. I did say that. All of you commissioners have a copy. It's this is a kind of a rough draft of what we would send to the community to explain what we are doing, because we want people to nominate their business or their leader, the leader in their business or their charity or whatever the organization is. So it's from Goodwill Committee of the Orange County Human Relations Commission to Orange County Friends. Now, that could be changed. I had various things there. It could be to Orange County businesses or programs or whatever. But Friends sounded just very friendly. So we don't want people just in the businesses to nominate. We want people out there who know about those businesses and those people to nominate them as well. So I just said Friends. Does your small company, large business, educational institution, individual philanthropy, or government enterprise deserve special recognition from the County of Orange? And I will probably add, or do you know of one of those that does? The Human Relations Commission of Orange County has developed an exciting new program to spotlight the good works of numerous Orange County enterprises, from two partner operations to large corporations. We're interested in publicly honoring different groups which have reflected significant progress in improving human relations and effective communication in the workplace environment. This includes minimizing or eliminating bias and discrimination around race, religion, gender, age, and financial position. Believe it or not, I've heard a lot of people talk about their age discrimination, that they're not wanted in certain restaurants or in certain bars because they're too old. We are particularly interested in acknowledging special programs which promote the health, welfare, and human rights of all Orange County residents. And then the second paragraph, if your workplace shows evidence of reduced conflict and tension, as well as enhanced communication and interpersonal relationships, because of superior leadership, education, special training, or mentoring programs, please contact the Orange County Commissioner listed below. And I didn't know if we should change that, if you want them to directly contact me or to contact you, Rick, or does it?
What? I think it's great if you want to do it. I think that's fantastic.
Well, I'd be glad to, because all I'm going to do is send them a form. I would send them a form to fill out why that company or group is worthy of being nominated for the award. And then it says, we look forward to hearing your individual success stories and possibly honoring your company's goodwill. So we want to get something rolling here so that we have a lot of people to spotlight in our county. And it could be even just one good deed. I saw something, maybe you saw this on the television, it was several months ago, but a plane had landed on the freeway. Do you recall that? Not very far from here in Irvine, I think.
The 405,
yeah.
And a bystander pulled way over, got out, and started to help these people. And there was a lot of smoke. And he was just like a hero at that moment. He got in there and, you know, dealt with his own fear about it. That would be an option for somebody to say, here's somebody who really cares about his fellow man.
Two questions, Carrie. One is, I agree with you, but this seems to suggest that it's companies and not individuals.
Yeah, yeah.
So we need to rework that a little bit.
Yes, and I do need to put individuals. I put leader, but I didn't put individuals. You're right.
So
Thank you for pointing that out.
You're welcome. And did the committee work up criteria yet on how we're going to make
these
decisions?
We're still working on that.
Okay.
Yeah. We have
so
a whole
we should
bunch
not send
that.
This out until...
Oh, no.
This is just a draft.
This is a rough draft.
So if
very
I could
rough.
Just make the recommendation that across the center we put draft. Since it's on letterhead, I just want to make sure... We know it's always a draft.
When I sent this to the two other committee members, I had on there, this is a very rough draft
good.
Of this, and I wanted them to make comments, but they haven't been able to.
But the Board of Supervisors has given us a directive not to put anything on county letterhead.
Okay.
That is an official
draft.
It says
definitely draft,
draft
yes. Okay. But I'm very excited about this because I can see us really creating some positive a positive look for this commission, as well as really honoring and recognizing the people in our community who do good things. And I know we do it at the annual dinner, but this would be ongoing, like maybe every other month, and we have to decide how often we could do this. I think we're going to be overwhelmed with nominations for the award. So we could probably do it every month if we could keep up with it, but at least do it bi-monthly, I would think. Does that sound reasonable? Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's
I
fantastic.
Have a question. How are you going to get the letter out into who?
Well,
there's
that's
a lot of businesses and a lot of
yeah. I didn't give you the whole letter here because you didn't need it. But that was one of the things I sent to the other committee members. We have to decide how we're going to disseminate this letter. We could send it to businesses. We could post it in a newspaper, I guess.
Press release, absolutely.
And anybody who wanted to take this to their own business place could. We have how many people in here today, you know? We might get so much feedback, we don't know what to do with it all.
Terrific. Thank you so much, Carrie, for sharing this and for making it happen. I think it's an important, positive step.
Thank you.
I just have one announcement or thought. That is, you know, maybe more than any other commissioner, I work with the staff pretty closely, and so I just want to take a moment and acknowledge Norma's hard work and Joyce and Don, who are just warriors in the fight against hate and in the celebration of good people in Orange County. So thank you for your service, and if you'll pass that to Norma and to Joyce as well. We really depend on you as a commission, but our whole county does as well. And they do their work not just with professionalism, but with heart and with soul as well, particularly when responding to hate crime. To know that the County of Orange sends somebody to respond to your horrific circumstance is really a powerful statement. And how many times, almost every time, people say to Don, I can't believe the county would do this. This is so meaningful. And that's the kind of role we should be playing. So thank you, Don, for doing that.
Thank you.
Any other announcements, concerns, thoughts, ideas?
I have an announcement.
Please.
There's an NGO that's a member of the UN, and it's called Goodwill Cooperative Service. It's a GCS international organization. There is a Los Angeles chapter, and they're primarily out of Korea and the Southeast Asia. And the Los Angeles chapter's goal started after the LA riot to promote peaceful dialogue between ethnic communities, to promote a better understanding. And since then, they have sponsored a leadership program to Korea to take leaders within Southern California to Korea and to teach them about their culture and promote a dialogue and so forth. Here at the city of Garden Grove, a lot of our police management have gone to have a better understanding of the Korean community And I think here at the county, we've had a couple sheriffs, and it's not strictly for law enforcement, social services, a lot of commissioners, a lot of people. So the application process does come up. I mean, it's only limited to 15 people, but they only take 15, so they have a lot of interest. So it's coming up. I can send you, Don, the application process, and then maybe you can send it out to the commissioners and if anybody's interested. But it is geared for October 9th through the 19th. And, you know, it's we've probably have about over 300 participants. And Orange County has been a, you know, we've had somebody from Orange County Sheriff's. We've had, you know, the various law enforcement, LAPD captains go. And then people from, like, social services, the DMV, a lot of the nonprofits who promote or provide services to those communities. And so it's a good, and city officials, it's a good program. So I'll go ahead and pass that along to you guys.
Thank you so much, Shane. Anybody else?
Okay, last item is agenda building to suggest topics for upcoming meetings.
Anybody have thoughts or ideas? You know, we always try and have some sort of educational presentation for our meetings. Do we have items still on the list that we brainstormed a few months ago? Chief.
I think a meeting or two ago, I suggested that maybe we have the Irvine PD mental health team come and talk about the work that they're doing in Irvine to serve our mentally ill population.
It's a fantastic
idea. Trying to connect them with resources.
We could do that in June, since I'm not going to be here in May, and I really want to hear that presentation. No, whenever's good. But if you have a compelling speaker on the issues that our commission addresses, please throw them my way, and we'll figure out how to do that. But we'll get you the name of the police officer, too, who just won Officer of the Year in Irvine as well. Anybody else? Thank you. We need to...
Adjournment.
Is there a motion to adjourn?
I so move.
So move.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Abstentions? Meeting is adjourned. Thank you so much, everybody. Thank you to our clerks as well.
Thank you.